Dan Graziano joining us here from ESPN, NFL Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Graziano ESPN. Dan, welcome to the show. First of all, have you seen a coaching situation play out with the relationship between the GM, the ownership, and the coach the way you've seen? Have you ever seen anything like what we've seen with the Titans over the last 14 days or so?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. It's possible there's one out there that I'm not thinking of, but it does feel unique, and I find it really interesting because it seems like, and again, this is talking to people around the situation who were watching the situation from outside, it seemed like that was an opening people expected. You know, if they missed the playoffs or if they lost in the first round, then they make the playoffs and they win in the first round and they do it anyway. And I think, you know, in some respects, and this is no disrespect to Mike Mularkey, I have no reason to dislike him or wish him ill, but if you're the organization and that was your plan to move on, then I guess kind of good for them for not letting, you know, one playoff game victory change that plan. I think you have to keep the big picture in mind when you're making these decisions. And if they really felt like they needed a different voice in there, then I think they're probably doing the right thing, as difficult as it may be, you know, on a personal level, if people like Mike Mularkey.
So, Dan, what's the view from outside the organization around the league as they watch the situation play out, and maybe more importantly, now that the job is open and it's John Robinson's team clearly and he's making the hire, where they go from here?
Yeah, I mean, look, the easy guy to connect there is obviously Josh McDaniels because of the New England relationship there with Robinson. Unfortunately, as you guys know, they're behind the eight ball on McDaniels because they can't talk to him until the Patriots season ends. The Colts could talk to him again next week because they already did. The rules say you can have a second interview next week if the team's in the Super Bowl, but not a first one. So if you're Tennessee and you want to talk to McDaniels, you're rooting for the Jaguars to beat the Patriots this week and make him a free agent, because otherwise you got to wait 3 weeks to do it, and he may be too far down the road with the Colts at that point. Hey, he may be too far down the road with the Colts now, for all we know. So they're bringing in some guys that are, you know, well-regarded guys. I mean, Mike Vrabel, another New England connection there, and someone who's thought of as a very hot head coaching prospect, could get a job this cycle, could be a guy that that continues to get looks and becomes a head coach here in the next couple of years. I was interested to see that they're bringing in Matt LaFleur, who's the offensive coordinator for the Rams. He's a Kyle Shanahan disciple. I think he was with Kyle 9 of the last 10 years. I was surprised he went with McVay to LA instead of with Kyle to San Francisco. But smart guy who's been around the right kind of system, hasn't called plays at the NFL level. So I don't know if he's going to be in position to be a head coach now, but I think it's interesting to see a guy like that getting looks, and it shows you an organization that's interested in looking at some people who might have some fresh ideas.
Dan Graziano joining us here. So try to, you know, you mentioned Matt LaFleur, and it seems like he falls into this category, but everybody's obsessed with the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, young, up-and-coming offensive mind. That's certainly what Titans fans want to see with their quarterback and the offense sort of stalling out this year. Who are the other names that fall into that category? I know Pat Shurmur probably is off the board, but you mentioned Matt LaFleur. Who are the other names that fall into that category?
Other than McDaniels, John DeFilippo, the Eagles quarterback's coach, is getting some looks. I don't know if he's ready to be a head coach at this point. Frank Reich, who's the Eagles offensive coordinator, is a guy who would like to be a head coach someday, and I wonder if they'll take a look there. You look around who had good years on offense. I mean, you can pretty much find, younger guys that that are kind of forward thinking on those matters. But that's going to be a really important part of what they do, because so much is centered on Mariota and his development. I think there's a sense, and again, you guys are there, you can tell me probably better, but I think there's a sense around the league that Mariota might have taken a little bit of a step back this year, or at least not progressed to the extent that people thought he would or hoped he would in the third year. So if you're the Titans, and let's say you're blown away by Mike Vrabel as your head coach, great. I mean, again, he's a defensive guy, but if you believe he's the leader for your team and he's the head coach, go ahead. But you're going to have to answer some questions. He's going to have to answer some questions about who's going to run the offense and who's going to be in charge of making sure Mariota continues to progress as a quarterback. A lot of offensive coordinator turnover around the league, some guys that are available that have been well-regarded. You know, I mean, this is top of my head. I'm thinking Carolina let go of their guy, Mike Shula. Ben McAdoo, who was coaching the Giants, is a guy who's worked with quarterbacks. I mean, they're going to have to find whoever they think is the right guy to shepherd the next phase of Mariota's development, because Mariota is still very well regarded and for good reason. But he's still young and he still needs to continue to grow at the NFL level.
Dan, you hit on a lot of things there that we've sort of been discussing and thinking about here. Is I think a lot of people around here certainly believe the numbers say that Marcus Mariota regressed. The question is why, whether it is the coaching, whether it was injuries this season, just what was the deal? From your view and kind of the outsider's view looking in on the Tennessee Titans, what is the belief of why Marcus Mariota took a step back and maybe still the belief that he can be that elite quarterback that so many people thought he could be a year ago?
I don't think there's a real sense that he has like a high-level elite wide receiver core. I think there's a thought that Corey Davis could become a part of such a thing, but he wasn't a major factor this year due to his, being a rookie, and he had some physical things too. I think while the Tennessee offensive line is regarded as a very good run blocking unit, I don't think it's been consistent in pass protection. I think he still deals with that. And then again, you need coaching, and this is nothing against anybody who's been there, but sometimes, and you'll see this with young quarterbacks, teams will make a change just to get a different voice in a guy's head. And that goes for coaches. It goes for veteran backups. I mean, you want the right people around this guy to keep imparting different perspectives and have him grow his knowledge and what he needs to learn in terms of his preparation day to day. I just think it's possible. Teams get to a point, and they do it at different stages of quarterback development, where they say, look, we've gone as far as we can with this quarterback and this leadership group around him. I don't know why I keep going back to this, but Carolina, Cam Newton had a lot of success there playing for Mike Shula, but I think Carolina decided this is as far as Cam's going to go with this offensive coach. Let's bring in somebody else, and maybe a different voice and a different perspective can help take his development or his career in a new and productive direction. I think if you're the Titans, you have to be thinking about that as a number one priority this offseason.
Dan Graziano joining us here, and we'll let you go with this one, but you got three pretty darn good defenses and three quarterbacks we're not really sure of, at least in the big stage. Case Keenum probably the best of the bunch by far. And then there's Tom Brady. Is this Tom Brady's trophy to lose, or do you think one of these defenses gives the Patriots a go at it?
I think Jacksonville has the ability to cause Brady problems in a way that we've seen teams do that in the postseason. And that means they can pressure him with just their front four and drop everybody else into coverage. We've seen that formula work with the Giants in two Super Bowls. We saw it work with the Denver Broncos in an AFC Championship game a couple of years ago. If you can get after Brady with the front four and not have to blitz and not have to send extra guys, that can rattle him. It doesn't do it 100% of the time, but on the rare occasions when he's been beaten in the postseason, that's been a big part of the formula. So let's watch that, because this Jacksonville defense is legit. I know they gave up a bunch of points to Pittsburgh the other day, but Pittsburgh got in desperation mode and started flinging it, and Roethlisberger was amazing. If Jacksonville can fluster Brady with pressure early, then I think they have a shot. And I think something similar could be said if they get to the Super Bowl against the very tough fronts of Philadelphia and Minnesota. But I think I'm watching this matchup Sunday very closely, because while I think, like most people do, that the Patriots will win it, I don't think it's an especially good matchup for them.